From Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the waters they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes, and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A good question to ask right now following that reading would be, what does this passage have to do with baptism? If you read about the baptism of Jesus in the Bible, a Bible with extensive footnotes and cross-references, you will not find one single reference to this passage from Isaiah. Nevertheless, these verses are important because they help us understand something very fundamental to any talk about baptism, about what baptism means and does. And it all boils down to one very important word, and that word is relationship. God takes his relationship with his people very seriously, and he always has. In fact, he created this universe, this galaxy, this solar system, and this planet. He created all the plants and the animals, the sun, the moon, the oceans, every plain and mountain and valley, out of his love for you. And this creating, giving, eternal God wants a relationship with you. Think about that. None of this is an accident. You are no accident. You are not the result of some lucky roll of the evolutionary dice. You were created by a creator. And King David affirmed that very fact, this great wonder, when he wrote, "You knitted me together in my mother's womb." God wants you, God rather wants to know you, and God wants to have you know him and be in relationship with one another. Isaiah tells us that God wants his people to know this, not because they have been so wonderful or so awesome or so godly. No, not at all. God wants them to know how much he loves them, even in the middle of their worst hour. In the chapter right before our reading, Isaiah speaks of spiritual deafness and blindness of God's people and how they have openly and brashly sinned against their God. But then he immediately has these words for them from our passage today. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. God is saying, I know what you've done. I know your sin. I know you've turned from me, but I still claim you as my own. I still proudly tell the world that it is I who created and formed you. Even now I want you to know that I redeemed you and saved you. Even now I have called you by name and know who you are. You are mine. Can you see how God takes his relationship with you so seriously? His love for you isn't like any other kind of love. His love for you isn't something that comes and goes or rises and falls. His love for you is like the relentless waves of the ocean. If you've ever spent time by the sea, by an ocean shore, you see that happening day after day, hour after hour. The waves come crashing down on the shore as they have since the time that God created them, the oceans themselves. And they will until he takes you home. You have a relationship with God, not because of something you have done, not because of something you have said, but because of God's love for you. You have it because of Christ's death to pay for your sins. You have it because Christ rose from the dead, never to die again. to open to you the way of eternal life. Think for a moment, not of your best day, but of your worst. A time when you were most ashamed, a time when you felt the heaviest weight of sin, a time when you felt more lost than you have ever been. It is in this exact moment that God said to you, and still says to you, "You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Fear not, for I am with you." Amen.
Second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. "But what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been unified with him in death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. When we begin to understand how seriously God takes his relationship with us, we begin to understand how important baptism is. There have been, and still are, many instances when Christians have lost sight of what is really important about baptism, and have argued or focused too much on details, on myths, and on human opinions. For many years, people saw baptism not as being about relationship with God or repentance and forgiveness from God, but rather as a simple act that was only meant to cover the sins one had committed before being baptized. If you believe that, when do you think would be the best time to get baptized? On your deathbed, right? And that's exactly what happened for many, many years in the history of the church, right before you die. So what's the problem with that? We don't know when that's going to be, do we? There have been, and still are, controversies over the method of baptism. Should it be by immersion or dunking? Are you part of the crowd that says if you ain't been dipped, you've been gypped? Or is sprinkling okay? Others focus too much on the idea of people making a commitment to God in baptism and not enough on the commitment that God makes to us. My favorite error, if you can call it that, goes back to the early Irish Christian history when babies were submerged for baptism. But for boy babies, someone would hold up the right hand, the right arm of the baby while the rest of the body was submerged. The idea being that when they were older, they'd still be good fighters. All these are interesting. It doesn't address what happens if the child grew up left-handed. All these are interesting, but they miss the main point. As we just heard in Romans, baptism is one means by which God connects us to himself and by which God connects our story to his story. Romans says it so beautifully. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." This isn't a casual relationship or a mere acquaintance with God. God says in baptism that we are made part of his death for sins and we are made part of his resurrection from the dead to life eternal. Baptism is where God gives us newness of life. Baptism is where God gives us hope in place of our hopelessness. Baptism is where God gives us forgiveness and holiness in the place of our sin And baptism is where God gives us the fullness of life in the place of eternal death. In short, your baptism is truly an amazing gift. It is a gift that means as much to you and your faith and life today as it did the day you were baptized. And it will mean that much to you for all eternity. All about what Jesus did for you. It's always been about Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and his unrelenting love for you. The question has been asked to pastors many times, can a person be saved without baptism? And the answer is yes, and we always point to the example of the thief on the cross as he repented of his sins and asked for Christ's mercy. And what did Jesus say? Yeah, let's get ourselves pulled down from these crosses. I'll baptize you, then we'll get nailed back up here, and I'll see you in heaven later. That's not what he said. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. In the 16th chapter of Mark, we read that he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Saying essentially that belief and baptism are meant to go together for salvation. But there is no mention of being condemned for not being baptized, only for rejecting the faith. I hope you can see where this question misses the point. It suggests something that it's something that you have to do, and this is not the right focus. Baptism is a gift, an ongoing gift, a gift in which God works faith in us and strengthens faith and connects us to him and all he's done for us. A better question to ask would be, why wouldn't we want to be baptized? Why shouldn't we be thankful for this gift? Why shouldn't we gladly receive it and baptize babies and children and adults and grandparents? It's pure gospel in its purest form, in that it's all about what God has done for us and given us and the gracious plans he has for us. It's all about God saying to you, I have called you by name, you are mine. Amen. We come now to our gospel for today, and for that we stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 3rd chapter. As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. Now here in our gospel lesson, we meet up with John the Baptist preaching about the coming Messiah and proclaiming how worthy and powerful the Messiah will be. Then we learn that Jesus, the Messiah, has indeed arrived. Luke's account is short and sweet, but at the same time moving and powerful. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. There is much that can be said about the baptism of Jesus, and there are also many questions. And chief among those might be, why was Jesus baptized in the first place? Obviously, he didn't need it. He didn't need forgiveness because he was without sin. He didn't need it to be connected any more directly than he already was to his Father. So what's really going on here? Why was Jesus baptized? What's happening is that Jesus, at a specific time in history, is marking the beginning of his mission. He is marking the starting point of his ministry to the world, to be the Savior of the world, to be the hope of the lost, and to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He does so by connecting his baptism, his life, his death, to all the baptism that had taken place at John's hand, and to all the baptisms that have taken place since that time, yours and mine included. The great gift of witnessing Jesus' baptism is that once again you can see how important God's relationship is with you. All three persons of the Holy Trinity are present in one place and at one time. And the Father says, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." It is quite simply a miracle. What happened in your baptism is no less a miracle, whether you were baptized as an adult or as an infant. Your baptism was filled with Jesus and connected to Him. Your baptism was filled with the Holy Spirit, and your baptism was marked the start of His work in your life, witnessed by your Heavenly Father, who smiled and said, "You are my beloved child. With you I am well pleased." One great gift about your baptism was that it happened. It really happened. It happened in a real place, at a real point in history. It happened with real water and the real Word of God. I think God designed baptism this way because He knew that we would need this assurance at times. Sometimes we have doubts. Sometimes we come to church and we hear about God's forgiveness and His grace, and we sit there and we wonder, can it really be for me? Sometimes we receive absolution for our sins, but we think, I still feel guilty. And if I am still guilty, does God still love me? It happens to all of us at some point, and we almost start arguing with God. But what if I were to ask you what you had for breakfast? Stuart, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
My usual shake.
Shake, all right. Had a shake, I'm assuming, some sort of powerful, nutritious shake to help you. We're not talking McDonald's, are we? Okay. So he had that nutritious shake. And what if I said to you, no, you didn't? Could I win that argument? Could I convince you otherwise? Of course not, because you were there and you know what really happened, because it happened in a real place at a real time. The same is true of your baptism. If you ever feel tempted by Satan to doubt that God loves you, if you ever find yourself doubting that God still calls you His child, if you ever think for one moment that God no longer cares or cannot forgive you, think of your baptism. You were baptized in the name of God, the whole name of God, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and it really happened. What also really happened is that God gave you a name that day at your baptism. God called you His beloved child. Remember that, not just on your good days when everything is fine, but on your bad days too, when things couldn't be worse, especially on your bad days. Thank God that you are baptized, because it means something. In baptism, God says to you, "I have called you by name. You are mine." In Jesus' name, amen.